Welcome to the IWA podcast. I'm Jess Blair and I'm joined today by Darren Hill from Positive, Aaron Hill from Community Housing Cymru and Josh Miles from CITB Cymru Wales. Today Carwyn Jones has been reappointed First Minister and will lead a minority Labour government. This follows almost a week of talks between Plaid Cymru. Darren, do you think the talks were worth it?
Well, in terms of the deadlock getting resolved, yes, I think they were definitely worth it. Plaid seemed to have negotiated, perhaps not as much as I would have expected, but enough to have a credible argument and a credible explanation for the approach that they've taken. I think the Infrastructure Commission, which was one of their key election pledges, getting that out of Labour is really important. But also, I'm intrigued by these cross-cutting committees that are going to be set up between Plaid and Labour. Always anticipated one on legislation, always anticipated one on the budget, but Plaid have got one on the constitution as well. I wonder what exactly that's going to be doing, particularly when the constitutional future of Wales is in the hands of the Conservative Party in Westminster.
But Aaron, isn't it the case that a lot of the deal, a lot of the compact between Plaid Cymru and Labour features stuff that were already in both of their manifestos, so were likely to happen from Labour's perspective?
I think there's lots in there, obviously they agree on, and that was clear across the manifestos, there's lots of agreement between the two. I think Plaid have justified it probably with lots of process in this, some of the stuff Darren's talked about already. I'm really interested to see the National Infrastructure Commission, where that goes, but also Karen mentioned the Parliamentary Review of Health Services. Mm. And I think in light of everything that's gone on with health in the last Assembly, some of the pledges we've heard from the parties over the course of the election debate, I think be really interesting to see where that goes.
Yeah, this is a big concession from Labour, really, isn't it?
It is, and remember that Kirsty Williams has been talking about this for quite some time, and I wouldn't be surprised if she were to play a very active role in that commission. In fact, you know, not aligning her with government, but giving her that arm's length positioning to try and get everybody else on the table. I think it could be a major thing she could contribute to public life in Wales over the next 5 years.
There's also a key commitment for apprenticeships and skills. Do you think that these are going to be positive for the sector?
I think it goes back to the point Darren made just now about there being a lot of common ground between the parties and the manifestos. Yeah, I think the Welsh Liberal Democrats, Plaid Cymru and Welsh Labour all had quite firm commitments around apprenticeship numbers. And really, you know, in a week is quite a short time to negotiate, so it's no surprise they focused on those kind of areas. It's great for, you know, a sector like ours because it provides certainty over the commitment over the next 5 years. So there's a lot of clarity there I think a lot of people will appreciate.
But you talk about the next 5 years, and that's, I think, an interesting point, because this compact has only been made for 100 days. Does that mean in 101 days' time we're going to be exactly back in this position?
Well, think about it this way. The Liberal Democrats had a deal with Labour in the last Assembly on two budget rounds. That did not stop them in the second year trying to extract more out of Labour. And I think Plaid, from the tone and the substance of everything Leanne said today, is not a cheap date in any way, shape or form.
I don't think either party would be surprised at the kind of process either. Like, the process is the bit that's most important here. Yes, you'll see concessions on either side, and there's a lot of ground to be given because there's a lot of agreement around manifesto commitments. But the important thing here is that there's a process that they'll be able to use, be able to lean on for the next 5 years to deliver those kind of commitments when things like budgets arise and when legislation becomes a little bit more tricky.
Legislation is another issue, because Carwyn said in his kind of follow-on speech after being reappointed as First Minister that Labour would not introduce any legislation in those first 100 days. Does that mean they're going to have a real battle on their hands when passing legislation for this term, and does it mean it's going to be very legislation light?
I think possibly, but I think what this deal brings is stability, and we talked about those first 100 days. Actually, when we had all the fuss last week, what we heard about were the steel crisis. You know, the unions are very heavy on, there's no action going to be taken on the steel crisis because of this deadlock, whatever you want to call it. I think Europe as well, you know, you've seen today, Europe's featured quite heavily in Carwyn's speech, and I think there's a lot of common ground between Plaid and Labour, and they'll both want to be out there talking about Europe now. Actually, I think Labour have been pretty absent from the debate in the UK, and there's a real opportunity, and that's where they'll want to be focusing now, I think, in those next few weeks. I think on legislation, you may see a legislation like Assembly be a fair bit, especially towards the end of the last Assembly. I thought it was really interesting, again, on health, that Karen's going to bring forward the public health bill again after those first 100
minus days. The vaping.
Yeah.
That's what it seems to be clear, minus the vaping. So, you know, you can disapply some of the stages because it's already been considered. On this legislation point, it's a really interesting one. The manifesto was deliberately legislation-like. Labour foresaw these sorts of circumstances and has deliberately structured its approach in that way. I tell you what I do think is dead in the water is local government reform. Because to get new boundaries in place by the local elections next May, remember they've already been postponed once, couldn't really postpone them again, there would have had to be some sort of early commitment to legislate to that effect. Not a word about it. So I think that's a major change from what Labour would have intended some months ago.
Yeah, when Andrew Arty Davis brought up local government reform, I think, and I think Carwin was looking a little bit shifty about it.
Yeah, he was, because Labour knows it doesn't have the numbers on this. I wrote a piece for Your Good Selves about a month ago where I said it was a very difficult area to take forward because there wasn't any clear agreement or much room to wiggle between Labour and the other parties.
So talking about this compact, this agreement between Labour and Plaid have had a really tricky week. They've had a lot of criticism from other parties, including Labour. Do you think it's much more comfortable for them to be on this side of the political spectrum in the Assembly rather than seeming to side, at least in some people's interpretation, with UKIP and the Conservatives?
I think so. I think you saw that from Leanne today. I think Leanne gave a very confident speech, and I think, you know, it's probably a slight change in nature for Plaid. They've got a lot of people who probably aren't comfortable working with UKIP, with the Tories, but equally some of the new faces in that group won't want to work with Labour, and they've talked a lot about change here. And I think Leanne's really set out the terms of the relationship here. You know, they have supported the nomination of a First Minister today, but this isn't any sort of formal coalition. So while they are more comfortable on that side of the spectrum, I think that, you know, they won't be afraid to pick a fight again.
And I think the other thing that is really important in this was the comments around reforming the committee structure in the National Assembly. I think a lot of it goes unseen, the work that happens in the committees, and organisations like ourselves spend a lot of time going through very detailed policy issues in there. Given that the dynamics around a minority government will have implications for the committee setup as well, I think getting that right is really important and can really help in terms of scrutiny from parties across the political spectrum.
Do you think it's a sign of a much more mature assembly, or an assembly that's maturing, it's considering its role and how to do process properly?
I think the assembly's going to have to mature. That's the nature of the game, to be honest. The more you increase the powers, the more detailed this policy gets that we're looking at, the more the committee's going to have to respond and play a role to live up to that. So yeah, I think it could be, but we'll have to wait and see what happens.
So we can't talk about the half an hour of plenary that we had today without missing UKIP's initial contribution.
It was impossible to miss UKIP every day. Neil Hamilton says something else that captures the headlines, whether that was possibly floating himself as First Minister or sacking staff or whatever. Today he used some pretty colourful and not necessarily PC language in the chamber. He was picked up on the bigot point, but there were some other things he said I don't think they would have sat comfortably in the cosy, comfortable liberal consensus of the Cardiff Bay bubble.
Offensive, Aaron?
Yeah, certainly borderline. I think, you know, Leighton Andrews took a lot of flack for the cheap dates comment and the nature of that in the last assembly, and I'm sure Neil Hamilton will get similar treatment for what he said today. Certainly on UKIP, I think they've certainly brought a bit of entertainment to the place in the first week that they've been there, and, you know, in sort of 10 years studying and watching Welsh politics, I guess they've probably made it the most interesting week we've seen. So long may it continue.
So surely it's, you know, it's intentional. UKIP want headlines, they want to shake up the Assembly.
Yeah, it's making sure that every interview, every statement gets some sort of resonance. I was a bit disappointed he said he wasn't going to be disruptive. I think that could be a really important thing that they bring, to be a bit more disruptive. But overall, the thing I'm most pleased about is I'm no longer the rudest man in the Cardiff Bay Bubble.
An interesting position at the start from Mark Reckless, challenging the new presiding officer, Elaine Jones. Do you think Elaine was right to kind of exert her decision had been made and it was the right decision and she was sticking by that?
I tended to side with Mark Reckless, if I'm honest. That rule sounded pretty clear cut to me. But maybe while they're reviewing the committee structure, they can look at these awful standing orders given in the first few meetings of the Assembly. Because one thing that wasn't touched on today, but I'm pretty appalled by, if I'm honest with you, is why in a situation like this, no alternative names can be put forward for First Minister. Because anything could have happened over the last week, in terms of, if you think back to 2007, where all the parties other than Labour were negotiating, at different points it looked like potentially different people could have been leading that coalition. The standing orders just aren't fit for purpose, and fair play to Mark Reckless for pointing that out.
I think Mark Reckless was right, actually, and I think, you know, as Darren says, it's something that does need to be addressed. We talked about maturing Welsh Assembly. Actually, we need the standing orders to match. And we spent a lot of time, once we saw the polls and, you know, saw that UKIP were going to join the Assembly, speculating about what UKIP would be like, how disruptive they would be. And I didn't think in the first week we'd see Mark Reckless standing up and holding the presiding officer to account on standing orders in the Assembly.
So now Karen Jones has been reappointed as First Minister. Is it back to business as usual for the Assembly, Josh?
I don't think it is, to be honest. No, I think quite a lot has changed around the tone and nature of the debates. And we've seen quite a lot of drama. I think to some extent now the work of the Assembly will get going properly and we'll start to see what this all means in practice. But there is quite a lot of cross-party consensus around certain issues and they'll be taken forward first. So we'll go along those first.
And let's have this open, more confident Assembly that Carwyn talked about. Let's have a consistent realisation from Labour, long overdue, that they do not have a monopoly on good ideas. I thought that was a really important statement to be made and I massively welcome it.
Great. Well, thank you very much all. Join us again soon for the next IWA podcast.